I thought, what would be better than to use my 34 years in the veterinary industry than to help you guys, the pet owner? What are your questions? What do you need to know? What would you like to know? I want to create a completely interactive podcast where you, the listener, can ask your questions and we will answer them. I will have industry-leading professionals come in and have conversations about your very questions. What keeps you up at night? What worries you about your pet? What worries you about the cost of taking care of your animal? There's so many things that we can talk about, but I need you to tell me what we need to come up with. Because if you do that, we can have a great, great, great session.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Irreplaceable Tales. We are so lucky today to have Marty with us from Rough House Pet Resort. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to chat with you about daycare, or pet resorts, if you will.
Both,
right? So everybody who listens knows I'm a huge fan of training and daycare and really just enriching your dog's day-to-day activities as much as you can. And I think daycare is a great place to do it, a well-supervised, well-staffed daycare. What are your big red flags for daycares? I'm not asking you to throw any other daycares under the bus, but what are some things that you think you guys really thrive and excel at that you aren't necessarily seeing at other daycares?
It's tough because I don't go to the other daycares.
True.
And I don't want to be one of those that's like, we're different, we're better, they're terrible. So I really try to stay away from that, but there are a few things I think are important. One is what to look for, and the other is how we're different. So things to look for in a dog daycare. Hopefully they've been around a little while and they're not brand new.
Right.
Sometimes when they're brand new, they really don't know what they're doing. And it's nice if they've been around at least 2 years, I would say.
Right.
Look at their online reviews. It doesn't mean that a few bad ones mean the place is terrible, but if all the reviews say their dog was sick or injured or something really, truly bad, then maybe you would second guess it. But I think reviews are important because they're usually real and people say what they're going to say. That's really important. I think a dog daycare, I'll focus more on what to look for than what not to.
Okay.
But I think what to look for, I love a dog daycare that separates small dogs, big dogs, and really groups them by size, temperament, puppies, all those things.
Play style, all of it.
Yes. And not just let's say you've got, one or two or three areas that they play, but it's a mixed group. It's not always safe. And I only have big dogs, but if I had a little dog, I'd be very happy to go somewhere where my little dogs played separately.
Right.
And they had their own group. And no matter how much we think that it's not going to happen, golden retriever, pick up a Yorkie, snap its neck in 1 second. Not because the golden retriever's aggressive, just because sometimes there's a predatory drive that kicks in, and they're animals. So I love separating that. Also, there's a controversy in the industry because I am in a lot of dog daycare groups and I speak in the industry.
Yeah.
We have live web cameras at my place.
Right.
And so many other places say, we would never have live web cameras because we don't want the people calling us all day long. And I said, it's good that we have them. Because we're under a microscope, and the customers get to see full transparency. We're not hiding anything.
Yeah.
And there's really not any issues. I mean, every once in a while, there's something like someone says, oh, my dog's not having fun.
Yeah.
Or it looks like the other dog was mounting them or trying to bite them, which I don't know.
I don't know if
sometimes they just didn't see it correctly or it really did happen. But I love a dog daycare that has cameras.
Same.
It gives transparency to the owner.
Sure.
It gives them a lot of peace of mind. It also helps us. Our number of phone calls has been reduced because they don't call all day long. How's my dog? Is my dog having fun? What's going on? They're just watching them. So they don't have to call as much and get a report.
I am one of those people.
Call?
I called once. But I love watching them on camera. I love watching it.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like I don't call because, like you said, I'm sitting there watching them. I was out of town, and my husband was taking them, and our one who's normally just insane was sleeping, like, with her back to the camera. And I was like, oh, this is weird.
Yes.
I'm really good friends with her trainer. So
red flag.
I texted the trainer and I was like, what's up with Gronks? And he's like, well, we had the Thunder shirt on her earlier because she was getting a little crazy. Uh-huh. And the Thunder shirt wasn't seeming to, like, calm her down at all. So they put a gentle leader on her to distract her.
Yeah.
And she
calmed down immediately.
She was so sad. I mean, that's why she was pouting. But for me, I was like, oh, my gosh. But I didn't call. I did text the trainer. I was like, what's wrong? They're like, no, they put a gentle leader on her just to kind of, like, distract her and get her calmed down and kind of, like, refocused. And then, you know, I went back on 10 minutes later and she's
having fun. I'm glad you called, though, because you never want to go to a place where you're afraid to call because they're going to be mad at you or they never answer their phone or they don't care. Or they
can't. Like you said, it's a service industry, right?
Yes, it's a service industry. And we actually will sometimes, I don't know if we would have called in that situation, but a lot of times our customers do like our texts. We have a separate phone just for texting.
Oh, nice.
And a lot of times we'll say, hey, heads up, we took your dog out of the group play and here's why. We just wanted to let you know.
Yeah.
And then when they pick up, they're not, well, first of all, they know, and they usually know why. But a lot of times we'll just say they were really snappy today, or they didn't like a majority of the dogs, or they're limping, or they threw up, or whatever it is. But we'll sometimes just say, hey, heads up, before you pick up, we wanted to let you know, and then insert whatever it is we're going to tell them.
Yeah.
We cannot catch everything, though, that sometimes a customer wants to know or has questions on.
Right.
So when they call, though, we do welcome it. But we usually say, it's almost always the same when you call, hold on, let me double check because I want to make sure I get the information correct for you.
Right.
Like, is my dog eating? I just want to make sure. And then we say, well, hold on, let me read the notes and see. And it might take me a few minutes, but we have notes for everything.
Yeah. So. That's really nice. I really like that. Yeah. What do you guys do if you do have an emergency or if something that gets hurt and you can't get in touch with the owner? Are they signing releases ahead of time saying, yes, we authorize medical care to a certain amount? Are they hospital specific or how are you guiding?
There's a whole flow for that.
Okay.
So ideally, it doesn't happen very often. One of the reasons why is we don't take dogs over 15 or that have a lot of health issues. We don't take dogs that need insulin. So if they're, we will recommend veterinary boarding or in-home pet sitting. So that's good. So that's number one. The other thing is we are pretty careful about monitoring them. So it's rare there's an emergency, but there are a lot of issues that are gray. So, for example, I'm pretty well educated on bloat because I have a big dog and I know the signs of bloat and our staff knows the signs of bloat. So everybody that comes to us before they can be a customer, they sign our agreement and it has, I think there's 17 points on there, different areas. And it says that they authorize us to take their dog to the veterinarian and be treated. So that's really important to us. It also has them disclose in the forms if their dog has any known medical or health issues. So that way we can stay on top of it. But if there is an issue, the staff that I told you about earlier, the kennel managers and team leads, they are the ones, they're the experienced staff. They usually been with me, almost everybody's at least 3 years.
Oh, nice.
And
which I think says a lot about
Our senior team doesn't leave. They're full-time with benefits, with they're interested in this field. They're not really going anywhere. So they're great. We really rely on them. And the first thing we would do is whatever the issue is, it could be bloat, overheating, some sort of acute diarrhea, pancreatitis comes up once in a while. But we always take their temperature. We make notes. We always let them rest. We we'll call the owner. If the owner doesn't answer, then if it's an emergency, we don't wait. We just go to the vet. And we always know who their vet is. So ideally, we would go to their own vet. But if not, we have two vets in our area that are emergency 24/7.
Nice.
We'll just go. I always have authorization to use our company credit card because we're not going to let your dog have some serious medical issue while we're waiting for
if they're on a plane, payment. The time change, different country.
We also have credit card on file is part of our requirements when you come with us that you have your credit card on file, a little bit like a hotel would. And it's really never an issue, but there's times when we just pay the bill, the veterinarian sees the file that the customer's authorized treatment, and we take care of them. It's not usually an emergency. There's a lot of...
Right.
Your dog's been throwing up. They've had diarrhea 2 days. We think there's a chance they have bloat based on these signs. Maybe they're coughing.
Right.
Sometimes they're coughing, but they're boarding with us. So we can't just let them cough. So we have to see, do they have some sort of canine cough? And if so, can they get on treatment? Can we quarantine them?
Right.
So when the customer gets back, they're already better.
Right.
But everything's disclosed. It for us, we have very good high standards and protocols on anything medical.
Yeah.
And we always tell the customers. And once in a while, they say, oh, it's fine. They don't need to go to the vet. And we've had to tell a few customers, we're going anyway.
Yeah. Sorry.
Because it's important. And then they go, oh, my gosh, you know, we didn't know how serious it was. And I'll go, we told you.
Yeah.
This is a big deal.
Yeah.
So we need to have it treated. So that's given us a good reputation, too.
Yeah. Do you, I know you have, like, daycare, private care and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do if, like, a dog's recovering from surgery or they have special needs and the owner just needs to have them in private care for a day? Is that still a no-go for you guys?
It's usually a regular customer that we would do that for.
Okay.
And it would be something like, especially if they got spayed or neutered.
Mm-hmm.
Real serious stuff, though, we for sure don't want to take on the liability. And we
right.
always recommend veterinarians. At every chance we can, please go see a professional. We're not veterinarians. We're really not even vet techs.
Yeah.
I have a few of our staff members are vet techs. They come from that field. But it's much better they go to veterinarians. So let's just say, to answer your question, they got spayed or neutered or some kind of minor procedure where they need to wear a cone or they need medicine.
Like a small little mass removal.
Exactly.
Or something.
They usually stay in a suite during the day and they go out for potty walks and it's just quiet, air conditioned. They have their little bed and we just monitor them and keep them quiet. But we're there, so we're able to monitor all that.
Yeah. Do you have someone there 24/7?
We do not. And I'll tell you why, because we used to.
Yeah.
The people, there's not very much to do at night when the dogs are sleeping. And I know
yeah.
it sounds better to have someone overnight.
Yeah.
It really always is better. But we have alarms. We have a security gate out front. And the dogs are sleeping. So when, and the lights are out and all the doors are locked.
Yeah.
But when we have someone there, so we do on the holidays, we always have someone stay the night.
Yeah.
The dogs are up and barking and going crazy because we're checking on them constantly.
Right.
And they're up, they're not sleeping, and there's not really much difference. So
right.
I think it would be better if there's someone overnight, but we do not, and we are honest with the customers, we disclose it.
Yeah.
So we are not overnight.
Okay, no. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that. I think with the way you've set it up as well, with, you know, not taking dogs over a certain age, not taking
yeah.
dogs on certain medications, and kind of removing yourself from some of those liabilities, I don't think. You know, but if you're taking, like, oh, my gosh, we're doing medical boarding with seizure patients and
of
this
course.
And that, like, then I think you're kind of opening a can of worms and you're almost forced to have someone be there overnight if you bring the whole medical
yes.
side into it.
Something else that we do, though, that's pretty important is if there's something going on with a dog, we will get them out, especially, obviously, before we close. We wouldn't
yeah.
wait till the morning. We will get them out and get them to the vet and have them stay the night at the vet and let them stay there for treatment, then even try to deal with it ourselves. We're the
right.
first ones to say we're really good at seeing symptoms
right.
and noticing things, but our job is not to diagnose or to treat.
Right.
So very good at just at a kind of a low base level of that dog A to B. Oh, my gosh. Let's hurry
right.
up. Let's get some Benadryl in them and rush them to the vet. But
yeah.
before we do, they're going to get some liquid Benadryl and then let's get them out of here. Because what if they have a reaction?
Right.
And it's too late.
Right. Right. Or, you know, they're eating a bee at 4:30 in the afternoon and you guys are leaving. You know, you might not.
Oh, we wouldn't leave them.
Right.
We would
you
not
gotta,
leave them overnight.
You got to
yes.
do something, if,
exactly.
especially if it's close to closing time with stuff like that.
Yes.
Do you have, so I know you said 15 is your cutoff. Do you have, what's the youngest you will take?
4 months.
4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have, what is your rabies, obviously, requirement?
Yeah, all the standard core vaccines. We try not to overdo it. And
yeah.
that's a whole nother controversy in the industry.
Right.
We are Bordetella every 6 months, and partly because just the herd mentality. So a lot of dogs sharing water bowls and jumping
sure.
and playing. So Bordetella, the distemper parvo, we can take the DA2PP or the DHLPP.
Yeah.
The lepto is, again, it's a depending on your area.
Yeah.
What size is your dog? Do you do the lepto?
Right, lifestyle.
Yes.
What they're exposed to, yeah.
Yeah, so there's that one. And then the rabies, and I really like the three-year rabies, not every year. And then we do require a fecal test for them to get started because we want to at least know if you're coming here for the first time, you're clear. There's no Giardia or parasites. And
yeah.
we clear them from that.
Especially if you have a pool. Oh, my gosh.
That could. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that could be.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that
That could be a whole other.
We don't have a lot of issues. The other thing that is very helpful, though, is when you have an outdoor, a pet resort that has outdoor areas,
yes.
You get a lot of that ventilation, the cross breeze. It's
the
stuff,
sun.
Yes.
Even just direct sunlight.
Exactly. Whereas the ones that are just all indoors, I feel like it has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
And it's just a lot of, you know, pee and poop and cleaning and chemicals, and it's all stuck in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's – do you have is it either indoor, outdoor, or do you have, like, an area where they can go kind of in and out at their leisure?
So if the dog – in the sleeping areas, they're all indoors.
Okay.
Everything is completely indoors for sleeping. And then we have these really great, like, long dog runs that we have.
Oh, cool.
That are completely covered for the daytime for the dogs that are in that private play. They will hang out there. Then they'll go to their play yard. So they have two areas. But the rest, the big dog play yard is covered, but it's outdoors.
So
it's
oh, nice.
Covered. And then the little dog area is – indoor and outdoor, and we can close when it's raining or really hot.
Oh, yeah.
We close the doors, and they're just indoors.
Oh, nice.
Because it's we need the temperature controls.
For sure.
Too hot, too cold. But the sleeping areas are 100% inside.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. I am for sure coming down.
You need
and
to come. It's fun. And we do
video.
Tours 6 days a week. So.
Oh, fun. Oh, I definitely want to see it. I can't wait to see it. Do you have any big tips for people who are looking for a daycare or – thinking about boarding or going to a daycare facility, do you have any tips for them, any advice for them, any ways they could maybe get their dog ready if it's their first time, or just anything to kind of help people?
Yes. I think that people are very surprised that we actually have requirements, and
yes.
They'll just call. And there so many are shocked that they say, what do I need to do? What? Huh? I don't have that.
Yeah.
So a little bit of preparation, at least. Keep your dog current on vaccines and have a copy of it. And when you're looking for a place, I would say I think the ideal is find three that have a website close by you. Read about it a little bit first before you call, because most of the places in our industry, they give you the information, the pricing, the hours,
right.
Requirements. So I really would love it if people would do a little bit of research before they call.
Right. Even just going to the website, right?
Oh, my gosh. Sometimes we get these phone calls. It happens a lot, too. Like, hey, what is this place? Okay, hold on. Let's back up. Do you have any specific questions?
Yeah.
So
do you have a dog? Let's start there.
Yes. How old is your dog? So I love that. The other thing is find out what's important to you. What do you want in a dog daycare and boarding? Do you want do you want a home-based daycare? Maybe you do. Maybe you want a small one. Are you looking for a place that has cameras? Do you care about their size limits? Do you care about their reviews? Things like that. And also, hours, convenient hours. Does that work for you?
Yep.
So many of these places are closed on Sundays, which I find insane.
Which is really tough.
Everybody comes home on Sunday from their vacation, right?
So you're almost forcing them, not forcing, but then now they can't pick up till Monday.
Can't pick up till Monday. So that's pretty important. And I love trial days. The other thing that I really wish everybody would do is please don't just drop in and ask for a tour. I'm surprised. I think people think they're going to catch us off guard.
Right.
Or that they're going to get the real truth because
right.
they just stopped
They're hoping
in.
It's going to be, like, dirty and gross somewhere.
Yeah.
Or that there's going to be a dog, like, shaking in the corner.
Oh,
like,
my
they
gosh.
Want this, like...
It's weird. It's actually
yeah.
weird. But I try to relate to this. Would you ever go to a super busy restaurant on a Saturday night and ask to go in their kitchen, right?
Right.
You would not. It would be so weird. They're
yeah.
busy. They're cooking. It's chaos. They're trying to get their orders out. Do they have a cockroach in the back? I don't know.
Right.
Probably not. But you, like, kind of walking in and demanding, I'm here and I want to see the kitchen, is awkward. So
right.
the reason we do the scheduled tours, one of them is just for staffing issues.
Oh, for sure.
The other is the dogs go crazy when we are doing the tour, right? So
yeah.
it's not great for the current customer's dogs when we've got these people walking through and all the dogs are barking at the fence and getting riled up
oh,
and
yeah.
getting stressed out.
And one gets fired up and they all just
yes.
follow suit.
yeah, so we love tours. We do them. We actually do them 6 days a week, not on Sundays. It's our only day we don't do tours. We always have to be clean because we do tours all day. But
right.
we do scheduled tours because we're busy and the staff knows We do a 10 o'clock tour, a 10:30 tour, a 3 o'clock tour, and it's the optimal time because the dogs are playing, no one's in their suites or kennels, and we're right. able to let the people come through. So that is so important that if you want to go check out a place, call and ask if you can have yeah. a tour or schedule one.
Especially because you guys have cameras. You're like, what are we trying to hide? Like, we have live streaming cameras. We're not trying to hide anything. But...
Well, there's behind the scenes, though. There yeah. are places like, well, we don't have a camera where they sleep or in the grooming right. room, things like that. So it's awkward. I will say, though, if they stop in and it's during our tour time and we don't have another tour, my staff, they're nicer than I am. I'm yeah. really a stickler for the rules, right? I'm like no, the rules say you have to have an appointment. My staff's so nice that I'm, thank God, they work at the front and not me. But they'll say like, oh, yeah, I'll give you a tour. Because the truth is we don't have anything to hide.
Yeah.
But I want them to know sometimes they're not getting a tour because it's not fair to our current dogs and our right. current customers because their dog is... gonna go crazy. We're moving dogs around. We can't have people walking by.
Right.
That's why the veterinarians don't have you back there with the surgery room. It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
You don't need to be back there.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We used to. You were one of our clients
yes,
at our clinic.
I love your vet clinic. So that's why
we would always have people too that were like, you know, exactly. You said, well, I'm gonna go in the back. And we're like, no, and they
wanted to.
Oh yeah, but I think people think. Like you said, like that you're trying to hide something. And it's like, no, back here you're exposed to radiation because we have x-ray machines and other equipment that is exuding, you know, radiation.
You have controlled substances, all right. kinds of things,
we,
right?
Yeah. You know, we have sterile fields of animals and surgeries. It's also like protecting your patients. You know, if your dog mm-hmm. was having this big epic surgery, you don't need Joe Blow walking out from down the street who you don't know walking in and... kind of disrupting the process, right? And it's right. not because we're trying to hide anything. It's because we're trying to keep you safe. We're trying to keep our patients safe.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a method to the madness, you know?
Well, so. I feel like you're just the perfect person because you come from the veterinary field. You're a very realistic pet owner.
Yeah.
You love your dog daycare. You go. You like their rules. So
yeah.
you're a little bit of an anomaly because yeah. you kind of already get it all.
Yeah.
And the average person truly doesn't know. That's actually why I'm here today yeah. is because I want to help the average person that's looking to get into daycare or find a dog boarding place and encourage them. Do a little bit of research. Pick a few places, call, go, see if the vibe is good, if they yeah. have what you need, and then...
And not everybody's going to love every daycare, right? Like yes. you were saying, there's home daycare, there's different
there's
types of daycare.
There's huge corporate ones, like the franchise right. ones. I won't say all their names, but they're franchise, and they're the big names, or they're the veterinary boarding hospitals
right.
that everybody knows. And then we're kind of an in-between. We're a professional business. We're run well. We have 15 employees. We have low turnover. We have a big professional building, but we're still privately owned.
Right.
We know the customers. We know the dogs. We pride ourselves on having a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And they're not just a number. And really building that relationship. And we take it personal when they leave or go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because we care.
Yeah. So. No, I think that's great. And I think that kind of shows with, you know, and how well you've done. I mean, I think any yeah. business, especially in Southern California, to be in business for 17 years
yeah.
in a field that can be so rough and so demanding and have some of the judgiest people I've ever met are animal owners. And it comes, I think, from one, lack of education.
Yeah.
And two, from with the lack of education, just not knowing any better, right? Or not knowing the way things should be or the way things do go. And they get so yeah. protective because these are their fur babies.
Right.
So he said, oh, my gosh, I can't believe my mini poodle bit you when you went to get it out of the cage and it's never been in a cage, never been around other dogs,
yeah.
never, you know. So I just think educating people as much as you can about what goes on at daycare, what is expected out of the pets, and what is really right for your pet. Just because it's right for maybe your old dog or your previous pet or
yes.
for pet number one, it's not always going to be the exact same for pet number two, even if they are the same breed.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure you even see discrepancies in same breeds, right?
The other thing is, we're only as good as their last stay, right? So
right.
if you boarded with us 12 times and everything was great and you loved us and your dog was great and everything was perfect, and on the 13th time your dog got injured or it came back with some kind of sickness, now you hate us all of a sudden. We're terrible. And
right.
Sometimes it's really nothing we could have done. I mean,
right.
you know, I hear all day long people that have never gone to a daycare or boarding, and they say, oh, my dog has kennel cough. Oh, my dog died in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Right? But if it was with us, we would have been blamed for it. We get blamed for everything, no matter what it is. We truly do. And you're only as good as your last day. So we have to be good every single time. And we have zero margin for error.
Right.
We can't mess up meds or feeding or give you the wrong dog or any of that. There is zero, just like veterinary practice.
Yeah.
There is, it's obviously on a way lower scale for us, but we do not get to make mistakes.
No.
So.
No, and I think something I would love for people to understand out of all of this too is even something, let's say, because you just mentioned kennel cough. If the dog is not coughing, it can still be spreading kennel cough, right? And if the owner doesn't tell you that it was coughing a week before and now they're coming in and not coughing, but they're showing proof of vaccination, you can't control that. You had no previous knowledge.
Yeah.
The dog isn't showing symptoms to you.
Right.
So I think anytime you do have a lot of dogs in an area, no matter how careful you are,
Or how clean you
are. There is, and you know, people, well, they're vaccinated against Bordetella. The Bordetella vaccine protects against one form of kennel cough. There are essentially 10 bacteria that make up kennel cough, right? So yes, your dog is vaccinated for Bordetella, but they're not vaccinated for the other 9 bacteria that cause kennel cough, right?
Right.
And like I said, I was, not to talk about, but I went to drop off and there was a dog coughing in the lobby and I was like, they're like, no, he's on heart. I was like, that's not a heart cough.
You know the difference.
And they were like, are you sure? And I was like, I don't want to be Debbie Downer. But I'm like, that is for sure not a heart cough.
Did
and
you tell the owner or did you tell the person
I told the owner and the people at the desk. And they just, the owner was so annoyed. The people at the desk are laughing. They're like, Jesus, Mallory, just like, leave these people alone.
Know it all, right?
Yeah, but I was like, no, that's a heart cough. And
you have to. Sometimes you have to.
Yeah, I was like, that's not a heart cough. Like, this is like a honking kennel cough. And she goes, you know, her cough has changed a little bit in the past couple days, and I just thought it was a progression of the heart disease. And I said, no.
So you actually helped them.
Yeah, I was like, no, you need to go. And then they told me, they're like, a couple days, or they're like, yeah, she hasn't been back in a couple weeks because now she's home quarantining because the dog did come up with kennel cough. So you can only do so much in that situation, right? Like, if these owners aren't telling you my dog's been coughing or my dog's been doing X, Y, and Z, no matter how clean your facility is or no matter how tough your guidelines are.
Yep. Well, you know something else that happens? Because we use slip leads and it's just practical because you just got to get them from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes when you have the slip lead and the dog's pulling, they will cough.
Right.
And we are, sometimes we second guess ourselves. Is that dog
really hot? Like, oh,
is it the leash? Is they coughing? Oh my gosh, right? Or when they go to pick up, they're so excited and they're trying to run.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what
they
does happen.
They do like the hacking down the hallway and the owners are like, oh my gosh. And you're like, no. Yeah.
So this is common. It's probably common in most daycare and boarding, but you board for the weekend. There's a lot of Friday drop-offs, Sunday pickups. So that's 2 days. And then you pick up on your Sunday, and now all of a sudden it's Thursday or Friday. And you give us a call and you say, hey, my dog's sick.
Right.
Well, it wasn't coughing when it was with us, right?
Right.
So did it get sick at my place? Probably, because we're doing the math on the incubation period.
Right.
Probably, but nobody else is sick. Nobody else is called. And then we start making these notes of, you know, Roger's owner called and said that he's coughing on Thursday. And then 2-3 weeks go by, nobody else is called. Okay, that was an isolated incident. Or now the phone's ringing, and we notice it was 7 to 10 days after everybody stayed for, say, a major holiday, and they're calling us. And it's usually nothing. A lot of times it's, oh, they coughed, and we just want to let you know.
Yeah.
And we always say thank you because we keep notes on that. But I haven't had any this year at all. Literally nobody's been sick.
Not last year, the year before was really bad that weird mystery upper respiratory.
The mystery illness. You know, it almost put us out of business. So many people said they were afraid to come. We said, we don't have it at our place. We literally don't have anybody sick.
Yeah.
And everybody was canceling their boarding reservations. Ugh. And that was tough on our business.
Yeah.
But yes, that was the mystery illness.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. It didn't affect us not in our area. We didn't really get it.
Okay.
But that's, again, that's tricky because they're not coughing when they're with us.
Right.
And then they go home and it's so many days later that they start and we go, okay. And also, did we do it? Did we do anything wrong? Is it just life, right?
Right.
I travel all the time. I would never call a hotel or the airline and say, hey, I got diarrhea or I got the flu, right?
Oh my God. I get sick every time I get on a plane.
Yeah. Is it the airline's fault?
I mean, no. It's not.
Exactly. What airline? We need a class action lawsuit.
Yeah, right. Can we do something about that? No. It's par for the course, right?
It's kind of like I hate to be that person because I'm really positive and I do love this business, but sometimes I want to be the reality check of, you guys got to stop overreacting. I have never gone to the doctor because I had diarrhea once, right?
Right.
I just, you know, maybe don't eat some food and take a Pepto-Bismol and the next day I'm fine, right? But people really tend, I think, sometimes to overreact on things. And if they would just wait a day, sometimes everything's fine. But I think it's just maybe because the dog is kind of like their kid, right?
Yeah.
And they say it, well, I love my dog so much and they're like my kid and I care. And I'm like, I love it. I love that you care.
Yeah.
But if you run to the vet for everything, a lot of times you just needed to wait a day.
Yeah. We used to see it. We saw it a lot more, especially during COVID, because people were home so much more.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh my gosh, Fluffy's drinking more water, or Fluffy's doing this. Fluffy's always done that, but you weren't staring at Fluffy for 14 hours a day. You were at work, you were out running errands, you were out living life, and your dogs were kind of home. But now you're working from home or you're not working,
mm-hmm.
and you're staring at your dog all day or your cat all day. So now you're noticing all these symptoms. That is just their lifestyle, or that was just the way that they were.
Well,
you just didn't notice it, you know?
And like we are the first ones to say, please go to your vet and double check, right? I mean, we would rather have them do that. I think sometimes I'm surprised if they get really upset, though, or overly emotional about something that's like, I mean, we didn't do anything to your dog.
Right, we're not doing anything intentionally.
Yeah, it just maybe we didn't feed them the wrong food, or, you know,
maybe they grab someone else's snack, or if you guys do like little
really
cups or anything like that, you know,
you'd be shocked. That's all separate. We have so many protocols in place for safety and making sure that
diet
none of that happens.
And
yes, all of that. We have notes in our system. It's on their file. We're very careful about that. But sometimes it's just life. And my personal dogs have had some crazy things happen to them that I look around and go, thank God I own this place, because I'd be like, well, what happened? I mean, this one's pooping blood and this one, whatever. My dogs are insane. They're always got something wrong with them. You know, the bloodhounds. The bloodhounds, those crazy dogs. But in general, it's hard to prevent some of those airborne illnesses and whatnot. And if someone is really worried, I say just hire an in-home pet sitter, which is not a bad idea.
Yeah, if you're going to be that worried and you're that stressed that they're going to be somewhere.
That's better for some dogs, because some of them are not used to being away from home. And you wouldn't want to do that. We actually turn away some business sometimes when they say that. Oh, my dog's 13. It's a German Shepherd. They've never boarded. And we're going out of town for 2 weeks. And we say, I mean, we can try. We can do a temperament test. We can do a trial. But really, you're probably better with an in-home pet sitter. Would you consider that? We're fine turning away their business.
And I think people probably respect that, too.
Some do. Some do. Others, I think there's still that, like,
but I'm going to pay you, so why
are
you going to
turn me
away?
Yeah, and we usually say, honestly, we'd rather make less money and have your dog's welfare and care of your dog be in the best situation for them.
Well, now you're dealing with stress diarrhea. You're going to be dealing with them not eating, potentially biting. So it just...
And it's not fun for your dog.
No.
Can you imagine? You've never been in boarding.
No, it's not. And I think that's...
And you want to just leave your dog somewhere.
That's also kind of a disconnect, right? They assume because they think they're going to have fun that they're going to have fun.
Yeah, because our marketing is great
and
our website.
Like, oh my God,
and they do think it's fun.
They have all this enrichment.
Yes.
Look at all these things, amazing things my dog can do. Your dog, and some dogs don't want to do any of that.
They don't.
They want nothing to do with any of it. So as fun as it looks, it's not every dog's cup of tea, right?
Well, I'll tell you something else is kind of funny, but our report cards, a lot of the report cards say that their dog didn't make a lot of friends in their play group, but they loved our staff. It's a very
cute,
common thing we write, because some of them aren't as social, but they love the pets from our people, and they warm up to them, and they really enjoy it. But sometimes it'll say, we don't actually say they didn't make any friends, but it'll say they didn't play a lot, but they love the people.
Yeah.
So that's actually pretty common.
Yeah, and I think that also, again, goes back to your staffing, right, that they're there for the right reasons. They really enjoy what they're doing. They like interacting with the dogs.
Yeah.
They like being there and doing what they're doing. And the dogs sense that.
They do. It's a fine line, though. So when we interview, I'm surprised at how many people think we just play with dogs all day.
Yeah.
And it comes up on every single interview. And I say, we sort of play with the dogs, but there is a fine line and a balance between letting a dog have fun and not letting them get out of control.
Right.
But you don't punish them and squash their... you know, they're fun. You have to somehow, and we teach this about how do you become the leader of that group where they right. respect you and they trust you and they're not acting crazy without yelling at them or punishing them or having to use all these tools? We don't have a lot of tools to really correct them.
Right.
It's about energy and balance and not letting them get overexcited and giving them breaks and petting them at the appropriate times. There's a whole bunch that goes into that. And some people have it naturally.
Yeah.
They're just good at it and others aren't.
Yeah, no, I usually get them really fired up and excited. You saw the dog that was in the studio today. And I get in trouble every time she comes in because I'm like, Pega! And I get her so excited. She's running around rolling. And everybody's like,
fun place.
Mallory. And I'm like, what?
But that's allowed here, because it's a fun place.
I mean, one or two dogs is fine. But when you're dealing, like you said, with 25.
Yeah, when you've got 20 dogs in a group, they don't all know each other because you have different dogs each day. And then when they start getting excited, what we see, especially because we have a pretty big space for them to play.
Yeah.
They start getting excited. And then one starts chasing the other one. And they get so overstimulated that it's difficult to control them because now they reach that threshold, right? From a dog training perspective, there's a threshold. And you'll hear some dog trainers say, dog daycare ruins dogs.
Yeah.
And to a degree, it could if you pick the wrong daycare.
Right.
Or they don't manage that well. But we're also not going to train their dog all day in the daycare. Right. We're going to have a little bit of...
There's a little give
Please don't
take.
Jump on us. It's not appropriate that you're mouthing the other dogs. You need a little break. You need to go on a leash. You need a little time out. Let's just chill again. But... There's a lot of the dynamics. So the staff is supposed to have fun, but they got to control the chaos.
Yeah. Controlled chaos.
It's controlled chaos.
Just like veterinary medicine. Just controlled chaos.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen that day. Is it a dog hit by a car?
Right.
Is it a cat that's,
And we love all the chaos. It just needs to be manageable and somewhat controlled, right?
And you never know what you're going to get.
Right? I'm sure it's kind of the same at daycare, though, right? You never know what's coming in.
It's a little bit easier because we have boarding reservations.
Right.
And you have to be a regular to come to daycare.
Yeah.
And you have to have passed your temperament test. It is, I do feel like the people that work for us that have come from the veterinary field, the number one thing they like is it's happy customers, healthy dogs, a little more controlled, a little more fun, right?
Yes.
You chose to come there when you wanted.
Right.
The veterinary field is so much more chaos and emotion and I don't have enough money. I wasn't expecting to do this. What's wrong? I admire anybody in the veterinary field because that is high stress.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really hard to when you have, you were one of our longtime clients, but I was there almost 20 years. I mean, it's like you have multi-generational families at this point, right? Like some of these kids, I was there when they were born, but I remember them
coming.
You
remember their little kids.
I remember when they were like 2 or 3 and now they're coming in with like starting their own families or now they're graduating college or, but you also have the other side of it where it's like, I remember when these little guys used to come in with the puppy that they got for Christmas and now everybody's flying home for Christmas because it's that time, and they have to make it. And then now I'm like, oh my God, I remember when you guys were like babies coming in with
that history. Yeah.
Yeah. And you have a history with them and it's hard because you get that emotional side of it as well, where daycare is much more of the lighthearted play side of it versus the medical stress.
It's amazing. So 17 years tomorrow is our anniversary. And it's amazing. Before I came on today, I was looking at some of our old customers and how long they've been coming.
Yeah.
And there's customers that they're on their 4th or 5th dog with us. And sometimes it's the same breed. And there's a few that I cannot get their new dog's name right. And I still say, oh, you're here to pick up Copa. And it's like, my dog's name is, Schnitzel.
I'm like, Oh my gosh, shoot.
I'm like, sorry. Oh yeah, that's the old dog. That's the old dog. Because I remember them for so many years with the other dog.
Yeah.
We don't take cats, by the way. So I talk about dogs because we're a dog place. And just some of the funny stories about who's come and who hasn't and how things have changed. We did a summer camp about, it's probably been 10 years ago that we were doing a summer camp every year. Those kids that were in my summer camp, some of them were in 4th and 5th grade, and now they're old enough that they bring their dogs to us. They drive, and they come in and drop off the dog, and I go, I remember when you were a little kid. Hold on. I have pictures still of you.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about it. We know their parents, and now, like you said, they're having kids. They're on their 4th or 5th dog, and it's pretty fun. Sometimes they'll say, because I don't work at the pet resort as much as I used to.
Yeah.
And they'll say, hey, what are you doing? We haven't seen you in a long time. And then like, I love those days.
Yeah.
Those are my fun days.
It's
I want
so
to come
rewarding.
To work more.
And I think especially to as a small business owner, just in general, right? To be able to have that longevity and those relationships is
It's
so
fun.
Important.
And we haven't really changed that much. If anything, the only things that have changed, like policies hours, hardly anything has changed. It's still the same great place. I'd say the main things that have changed are just we keep remodeling and trying to improve and fixing fencing and just it's nonstop. It is
typical
nonstop
wear and tear.
Because the dogs, the dogs ruin everything.
Yeah.
So, but other than that,
that's why they bring them there, to ruin your facility.
Yes,
not the house.
And they do. They really do. Sometimes, you know, we don't charge people for everything, but there's times when I go, holy moly, what happened at lunch? That dog destroyed the crate at lunch.
Yeah.
She said, you turn your back for 5 minutes and they, you know, ripped up the crate pan and tried to break open the bars. And we're like, whoa.
Like, that happened quick. That escalated very quickly.
Yeah, sometimes it's so quick. But yes, I love it. It's a very fun business. And the few things that aren't great about it are definitely overshadowed by the good stuff.
Would you do it again?
Yeah, I would do it again. I would do a few things differently. Not a lot, but a few things. And you probably don't even know this. I opened a second location in Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Because I live in Orange County.
Yeah.
It's a lot closer for me. I opened a second location. I ran it for 7 years. I worked 7 days a week. And I ended up closing it and selling the customer base to a really nice local competitor that you know. And I did not like that location. I didn't like the location. I didn't like the building. I didn't like the parking. It was so tough on us. It was just, you don't know sometimes until later. If I could do it all over again, though, I would either have a different second location or no second location, because that
just stick to the one.
That was 7 years of, oh my gosh, I'm killing myself. I mean, I got old fast. I got a hip replacement during that time. I
getting
lost
your hair
boyfriends.
Dyed twice as often.
Oh my gosh, the I lost every coming boyfriend in. I had. It was that was, and no one realizes I'm, you know, there's small business owners and then there's daycare boarding business owners,
right.
And no one knows how much stress it can be, because you're the front desk, the dog trainer, the, you know, hiring is difficult.
Oh yeah,
in every industry, but in our industry too. Yeah. We're accountable. They're live animals.
Right.
When you go to Starbucks and they ruin your coffee and give you the wrong drink,
right,
they just smile and give you another one for free. Right.
Right.
But we cannot mess up things with their animals. There is no margin for error. So there's high stress. How are they doing? Is the dog sick? I don't know. Why did the customer leave? We're not answering the phone. You name it. I mean, those are not all really crazy things. But I love the business. I would do it again. I probably wouldn't have that particular second location we had, because that was kind of a killer on me personally. But I still love the Riverside one, everything about it, and the customers. It's perfect.
Well, it sounds like you are thriving at your Riverside location.
It's good.
And we are going to put your website up so everybody see and visit. And I am going to come harass you one day and take videos and pictures of everything.
Bring your naughty dog so
we can laugh. I'm actually really, I really want to put one of them on the little water jet pad that you have, because one of them will just have the greatest time on it.
It's fun. It's fun. Like I said, not every dog wants to actually swim, but they still want to get in a little pool or play in those jets.
Yeah.
Some of them, we have pictures, the jets are just coming up as fast as they can.
So cute.
And the dog is in there like pouncing on the little jets.
Our newest one loves to hunt, and she like chases shadows and stuff. So I think she would really like the stuff shooting up at her. We call her Little Hippo. I think she would have so much fun.
Because she's a Frenchie.
Yeah, and she has like the...
Don't they call them bat pigs or something? Is this another little silly
gremlins,
name?
Gremlins, bat pigs, hippos, potatoes. They're just... they're a mess of a breed, and I don't know how I got sucked into it. Because being from VetBed, I was like, I will never, ever own a Frenchie.
And here you are.
And here I am with 1.5. So I'm like, this is what I get. I finally had to cave and do it.
We have a lot of them. I mean, they come to our place, too. There's a lot of them. And there's a few that we are like, oh, my gosh, this is nonstop energy. They don't have an off button, some of them.
It's wild. They're just like, some of them are just bulls in a china shop. It is.
Yes.
They're strong. They're stubborn.
Yeah, there's a lot. We do worry about the health, too, because they can get sick so quick or overheated quick. That's a tough breed, because we got to second guess everything with them. Like, there's no, we're looking, oh, wait a minute, are you breathing heavy? Is that the way you normally breathe? What's going on? Oh, wait, let's give you a break.
Right, and then they're throwing up, and you're like, oh, did you regurg? Did you aspirate? Did you throw up because you drank too much? Are you slowly starting to overheat? They're just.
Yep, so that's tough. You know, some breeds are always going to be more difficult than others.
Yeah.
And
then you have the labs who make up for it, who just show up and party and have a great time, right?
There's
and all
a
the
lot
golden
of insane labs, though. There is a lot
too
of insane labs.
What is the number one breed that you see that comes to visit?
It does change because breeds get popular.
Right.
There's a lot of huskies.
Yeah.
I think partly because we have an outdoor play area. So yeah. That's appealing as something like a husky. A lot of the labs, mixes, they're pretty popular. Not very many hounds.
Yeah.
Not a lot of, and then all those little cute terriers of some sort.
Because they're wild, because they have all that
they're
energy.
They're so cute. All the little, and
scruffy.
The poos, the multi poos, and the cavachons, and the little just cute everything. Because we get a mix of shelter dogs, adopted dogs, rescue, purebred, you name it. There's a pretty good mix. But remember, it's also kind of a luxury to come to daycare.
Right.
So there's a market for that. And not everybody either sees, they don't see the value, or they can't afford it,
right?
And so anybody could come to us, but there is a market, kind of a sweet spot on who our customer base is.
Yeah.
And it's not everybody, so.
Yeah. Well, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I'm so happy that you guys are still doing so well in Riverside. For anybody who wants to go and visit or do a tour, just call them and give them warning and let them know and schedule an appointment. Yeah.
And our website is truly very informative. We have our registration, our requirements.
Oh, nice.
We have everything. We also have, we did a commercial recently. It could not be any cuter. So if you go to our website,
okay.
I think it's on the homepage there, right there. And it's one of our trainer's dogs is the star of the commercial. It is so darling, but it gives you a full picture in, 1 minute of the pet resort, the different areas, and from a dog's perspective.
Oh, cute.
So
I love that.
That is helpful. And I know it works on the desktop. I think sometimes it gets glitchy on mobile.
Okay.
But that video it really truly says it all. And it's not a fake, BS. Like, it's just, that's what our place looks like. And that's really kind of a day in the life. So I think that commercial was just done about, I think it was only like 6 or 8 weeks ago. So.
Oh, awesome. I can't wait to see it.
So that's fun. That's on our website.
Yeah. Oh, I'm definitely going to look at that. As soon as we walk out of here, I'm going to turn it on.
Okay,
and take
good.
A look at
Please
it.
Please do.
But thank you so much for coming by and chatting with us.
Thank
we will
you.
Definitely have to have you on again.
I appreciate it. I love this. And I
come harass you at your daycare.
Yeah. And you're good. I got to give you that. You're good at this because you do know how to ask the questions and you have a really good perspective, which is helpful. So thank you for inviting
thank
me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm glad we connected.
Yes. Perfect. Thanks again, Mallory.
No problem. And for everybody who's been watching, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Irreplaceable Tales, and we will see you soon.